This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
So he posed the additional question of altogether, how come a fagel is chayev? Because he brought a raya from the Gemara in Gittin that for a for machshova there's no chayev nezikin. For a nezikin which is caused by a machshova there's no chayev nezikin. So why is pigul different? And he went on to the whole question of why pigul is not a nezik of machshova, and he brought the Rashbo. The Rashbo says that in case of pigul, pigul doesn't work unless there's a maise. Machshova alone doesn't work. If you have an animal and the kohen has a bad machshova about the animal, nothing happens to the animal. It's only if it's bishas maise, only if it's at the time of the shechita or the time of the kabbalah or the holocha or the zrika, one of the avodas. If at the time of the maise avoda he has the bad machshova, then it takes effect. But without the maaseh, doesn't work. So the Rashbo says, therefore, pigul is more than just a machshava. Pigul is actually a maaseh done with a bad machshava, with an inadmissible machshava. Asks Rav Moshe Mordechai, but still we need to examine what is the role, or what is the relationship between that maaseh and machshava. There's a time relationship, good, they occur simultaneously. But is that coincidental, or is there some... is there some closer relationship between them? So he poses a chakira. What is the? How does pigul work? Does the Torah say that a ma'aseh shechita performed with a bad machshava is no ma'aseh shechita, and that's the problem? Or do we say the ma'aseh shechita is a good ma'aseh shechita? The only thing is, if during the time of shechita the thoughts were wrong, then the thought damages the korban. In other words, is the ma'aseh shechita a t'nai? Is that just a condition for pigul to take place? Or is the ma'aseh shechita the thing that causes the damage? And pigul is just the way that is just the cause of it all. And he brings a raya from the Loshon of the Rambam that clearly the machshova is direct. And that's why the Rambam says there's no malchus for pigul, because it's a lav she'en b'ma'aseh. There's no ma'aseh in machshova. And it's the machshova which is the lav. And the shechita is just the timing in during which. When is such a machshava inadmissible? If it occurs during the time of shechita, or during the time of zrika or halacha or any of the other avodas. No. Now he's talking only about the classical pigul.
Okay.
Yeah, now he's talking only about the classical pigul. So therefore, he comes to a conclusion based on the Rambam that pigul is a machshava. And it doesn't passel the shechita. The shechita is a good shechita. It's just that it's not a good korban. Why is it not a good korban? Because the machshava wasn't right. So the machshava has done the damage, not the shechita. And that's different to the case in Gittin, where it's pure machshava. The act of putting the animal into the barn, there's nothing wrong with that, because he had good machshava for that. The only thing is it was accompanied by a bad machshava. That machshava causes the damage directly without any... that machshava... Yeah, now that he comes to later on. That nafkimini comes to later on. Good, okay, so pigul, that's the case with pigul. Now, then he goes on to the second thing. So what about the case of the barn? So why is the case of the barn different? So he makes a second chakira, a second analysis. What the difference is between a machshova which changes the status of something and that causes the problem, or a machshova which doesn't change status of anything. It's just a halacha that once there's been such a machshova, then such and such a halacha applies, although there is no change in status. For example, the case of putting the animal into the barn, what does the machshava do there? The machshava doesn't change it into a different kind of animal. The machshava doesn't make it as if the animal did work. The machshava doesn't change the status of the animal at all. The animal remains exactly the same. It's just a halacha that such a machshava, having occurred, the animal cannot be used as pora adum anymore. That's all it is. It's a halacha. But the status of the animal is not changed. Masha'in Kain, in the case of pigul, there the actual thought of pigul. He brings the example, for example, from the kerem. Remember, the fence falls down by the kerem. There is, it's not just the halacha that the fact that the fence falls down and in his mind he's not going to rebuild it, the status of that piece of land changes from the status of a field to the status of a kerem. And therefore there's a halachic problem. It's not that there's a halachic problem and that causes the change of status. There's a change of status and consequently there's a halachic problem. What's going to be in the case of pigul, he says? The normal classical case of pigul, it doesn't cause any actual change of status. All it causes is a halacha. The halacha is, if there's been such a machshav, if there's been such a thought, then the korban is possible. That's a halacha. It doesn't change any status. There's no material change at all. Rakatira omro sheim cheshiv lechol chutz lizmano as a Torah iseris. Torah says if a person plans to eat it outside of its time, then the Torah asks it. And therefore, there would be no chiyuv nezikin in the classical case of pigul, because the classical case of pigul is pure machshove. It's direct machshove to the korban. It's not through the shechita. The maise is not involved at all. We've got cases where machshove also causes nezikin, such as by the vineyard. That's only where the machshove brings about a change in status, and that brings about a change in halacha. But where the machshava brings about the change in halacha, and that brings about the change in status, there it doesn't apply. There is no chiyuv nezikin. Because it's the Torah who does the damage. My machshava invokes a new halacha. The person suffering from the result of the halacha, not from the result of what I did. You can't use the halacha as a kli to be mazik with. That's what he's saying. You can't use, the halacha is not a sword. And the halacha is not an axe. You can't use the halacha as the kli to be mazik with. I invoke a halacha which causes you a loss. That's not called me. That's not called me causing you damage as far as tashlumin is concerned. If I, through the whole concept of halacha, I change the status of something, and memela the halacha has to apply because I've changed the status, then I have done the damage with my machshava. I have done the damage. That's the chiluk which he applies here, which doesn't yet help us on why it's any better if the machshava is shaloi lishmo rather than pigul,
why,
which Rashi says.
Why doesn't? Surely the case of Rashi then is the case where he's making a possible korban. So there's a halachic state, there's a halachic change.
Yeah, pigul also is making a possible korban.
The pigul case we learned is that the korban, the nezek is that he's got, the baal has to bring another one.
No. Nope. But the korban is possible also. Pigul, the korban is also possible. In the standard case of pigul.
In other words, it's possible in the same way that if he had kavana to bring a
shlomim in case of bechatos, instead of a shlomim or vice versa, yeah. It's possible in the korban, both of them. That's the whole kasha. If it's said, they're so similar, so why not bring the classical case of pigul? The first kasha is, why do you have to bring a case where the korban becomes possible altogether? If the essence of the whole thing is that the other man has to bring another korban, why do you need to bring a case dafka of where the korban is posel? You could bring a case of where you brought a shlomim and thought it was a chatos, right? Where the korban is not posel, but yet the bailim has to bring another shlomim. That also would have been good. And secondly, if you do have to bring a case where the korban itself is posel, why not bring classical pigul?
That is, in other words, classical pigul
also posel.
In a case where he brings a chatos and thought it was shlomim, both of them are posel. But when he brings a shlomim and he thinks it's a chatos, then it's not posel.
Correct.
That's
correct. Because you're upgrading it. Yeah.
No.
From that point of view, but it's still, the korban is kosher, it can still be brought. He brought it as a chatos, he brought it thinking it was a chatos, he did it the shem chatos.
It doesn't make any difference because it's still pure machshava at this stage. If it's known
as
nezikin for the classical
people,
why should
it
be
a nezikin? Yeah, no, but Eric's just asking on the side, what do you do with the korban? If a person brings a shlomim and the kohen thought it was a chatos.
If he had to bring a chatos,
right. Right. So there is nezik, sure. Right. But that korban, nevertheless, is a kosher korban. Now you're asking, is it a kosher chatas or a kosher shlomim? I'm not sure what halacha it has. Well, he said, not all. You have to be lichor. You have to be. It has to be a chiyuv chatas for it to be have the din of a chatas. Yeah, lichor. It is nezik in any case because he has to bring another shlomim. Oh, if he's chayiv chatas as well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. It depends whether it's then whether we give it the din of a shlomim or not, and I just don't know the halach. I don't know what the din is there. Well, it's easy to check up, and we can check up on the Rambam. It's quite easy, but I don't know what it is. Now, skip the next paragraph where he asks another kasha altogether from the Ila. And then in the following paragraphs, he gives a new yesod on which the answer is going to be based. Venir Latari, so don't worry about the terrors, it's answering the kasha he posed, but what's important is the yesod. The hineli choro, yesh la'ayin. Choro, one has to look at something else, a third issue has to be examined. This that in Kodshim there needs to be Lishmo. You see, this is very similar to Abiskarov. Abiskarov also analyzes on a different subject whether the Lishmo in Korbonis is just the ordinary lishmo, or whether there are two different elements that we might look at part of that afterwards. Here he's examining this that by kodshim there has to be lishmo. Is it just like any other mitzvah that has to be lishmo, or is there something very specific in the case of kodshim? Yishlayin hoda beinu bekodshim shiachshuv lishman. Iha kavona is the intention that tzorich oid lekadesh es hakorban likdushas oisay korban. That what does the lishmo do? The lishmo in fact elevates the korban to its specific status. In other words, one of these are growling. In other words, the purpose of the lishmo is it works on the korban. That without that lishmo, the korban isn't made into anything. It's the lishmo which makes it into that which it has to be. The afsheba peh mekadesh la korban kedushas haguf. Even though that by the mouth saying what this korban is going to be, the kedushas haguf is there. Afal pi kein avirak kedushas peh v'tzorich oid sheashchita tekadesh es hakorban l'mashu hu kedushas avoido l'korban zeh shehukdash. Man comes along and takes an animal and he says this animal is going to be a shlomim. Good. So there's a kedushas haguf. The animal is now hekdash. That's clear. Now asks Rav Moshe Mordechai, is there still further elevation needed? So we've elevated it from an ordinary animal to hekdesh. But now, and to what kind of hekdesh? For a shlomim. But now, does the avoida also have to be specifically defined? And that by that machshova tekadeshes hakorban lemashu kedushas avoida lekorban zeh shehukdash. A special kedushas avoida. So the one thing takes it out from being an ordinary animal into the category of hekdesh, and now we want to take it out from hekdesh into kedushas avoido, something which is now fit to be brought on the mizbeach. And for that I need machshove. Mishum hachi ba'inan sheyachshov l'shem zeh korban. For that reason there needs to be kavona in l'shem, the specific korban, the bezehu mekadshu kedushas korban. Because the role of that machshava is to be mekadesh, the animal, kedushas korban. So I'm now taking something which is hekdesh, and through my machshava at the time of shchita, I'm dedicating it to kedushas mizbeach, to a kedushas korban. Oid de be'emes hakorban kvar niskadesh kol hakedusha. Or do we say no, when the man said, this animal shall be a shlomim, he's done all that has to be done. The animal is now fully ready to be brought on the mizbeach. No further kedusha needs to be instilled into that behemoth. V'rak omro ha-toiro she'im chishev sh'loi lishma azu poisel akorban. But the Torah says, now you can wreck it by having the wrong machshov. Sh'loi lishmo will wreck the korban. So is it that the lishmo adds to the korban, or is it that the korban doesn't need anything added to it, but a sh'loi lishmo will destroy the korban? Is that clear? Does anybody have a difference with that, a difficulty with that? Oh, so we say the Gemara says in Zvochim that Stam, yeah, well, he's, although that's a Gemara Mufureshet, that Stam Zvochim Lishmayu Kaimi. That there is an assumption which seems more like the second side. That there's an assumption that it'll go, it doesn't need something specific. But we could learn that differently. We could say that lishmo stam zvochim lishmo lishmayo kaimi, that it's like a tnai beizdin that gives it the necessary kavona unless somebody distracts it. So it's not necessary, one can't necessarily be machriya from that gemara. The chatas of the Pesach, in the case of chatas and Pesach, it passels the korban. And it has the effect of undoing the chiyuv of the bailim in the case of other korbanos. Vahanireli, and what appears to me is the al yedei hashchita miskadesh hakorban kedushas korban yosei b'mashu hayom mikodim v'kedushas hapeh. Moshe Mordechai says that he believes that the ma'aseh shchita with the right kavona elevates the korban further than it was before. There is more kedusha in the animal after shchita than there was before the shchita. What gave it that extra kedusha? The kavona of the shchita. Only kavona can give shchita a kedusha. You can't give a thing kedusha without kavona. Although mitzvahs maybe ein tzrichas kavona midoraisa, achlokes tzrichas kavona, not tzrichas kavona. But there's one thing for sure: you can't give kedusha to something without kavona. If you write a sefer Torah without kavona, it doesn't have kedusha. If you make a pair of tefillin without kavona, it doesn't have kedusha. You can't give kedusha to something without kavona. And therefore, if there's more kedusha attached to the animal after the shechita than before, it must have been the additional kavona at the time of the shechita which was necessary to do that. So it's not that the animal had full kedusha before. And the only thing is you've got to be careful not to destroy that kedusha by a wrong machshava during shechita. But Moshe Mordechai is mechadesh, a very big chidush, that the role of this machshava is to further enhance the kedusha of the animal. And then he goes into two pages of proofs for this, which is the page that I left out in the photostat. He goes into a long backwards and forwards, which is beautifully constructed, but it's not really in a gear to us. One has to go into all those gemaras. The yesoid, we've got what yesoid is going to work with, and we can therefore go to his last paragraph where he comes back to applying this yesoid, which he proves, to our gemara. Let's see, I hope that we've got enough information to understand his last paragraph. Nimtza lefi dvoreinu alibe dehaloche, it comes out according to our words, according to the halacha. Beshochat b'machsheves chutz lizmanoi. Part of this we won't understand the proofs for it, but you'll understand what he's saying. That in the case of a chutz lizmanoi v'chutz limkoimoi, hashchito hoiso ketikuno v'higdisho es hakorban. V'rak hamachshova also so psul b'korban. The Moshe Mordechai is mechalek, in fact. And he says there are two different kinds of machshova with regard to the korban. The korban of, he's just been mechadesh in the piece that we did a few moments ago, that the lishmo required at the time of the shechita actually raises the kedusha of the animal. That's one thing. Now what about pigul? By pigul, it's not a din that you've got to have kavona to eat it in a particular time or to eat it in a particular place. It's a halacha that you mustn't have kavona not to eat it in a particular time or not to eat it in a particular place. So if you just have stam machshava, you're shechting a chatos, and you don't know the halochas, the kohen's an amoritz, he doesn't know when you can eat a chatos, that you can eat a chatos that day and that night. He doesn't know. If you ask him when, he doesn't know. Poshut doesn't know. And he shechts it, but you say, l'shem, what are you shechting it? L'shem a chatos. Whose chatos? This balabos's chatos. When can it be eaten? The halochas of a chatos, I don't know. That's certainly not pigul. If the kohen says, I thought that you could eat a chatos tomorrow as well, that, and I had in mind that he should be able to eat it tomorrow as well, that I should be able to eat it tomorrow as well, that's pigul. You've damaged it with your machshov. But you don't have to have dafka machshov. You see the difference? Lishmo, you've got to have a machshov a lishmo. And even if we say that a stam korban is lishmo, that's because the stam korban is lishmo. We assume that there's a lishmo. But in the case of pigul, you don't have to have any machshova at all. If you've got no machshova, it's ganz fine. But the only problem is if you've got a machshova. Then we've got to check what your machshova was. And therefore, the role of the machshova of pigul and the role of the machshova of shaloi lishmo are opposite, are different. Although they're both machshovas, and they're both damages caused by machshova. A bad machshova, as far as pigul is concerned, has damaged the korban. A bad machshova, as far as lishmo is concerned, has failed to elevate the korban. What's the difference? Now let's look. B'shochat b'machsheves chutz lizmanoi, v'chutz limkoimoi. When the problem is being chutz lizmanoi and chutz limkoimoi, which is the classical case of pigul, hashchita hoyso ketikuno, v'gdishes hakoven. There was nothing lacking in the shchita. There was nothing lacking in the kashrus of the shchita, and there was nothing lacking in the lishmo of the shchita, because now Rav Moshe Mordechai requires lishmo as a part of the shchita. Because what is the role of shchita in kodshim is to elevate the korban. That's why you're shechting it. You're not shechting it to eat. You're not shechting it to kill. So that's by chulin. When you're shechting an animal at the abattoirs, you'll go up to the shechit, you'll say, why are you shechting it? He'll say, to make it kosher for achila. You're saying, are you shechting it to give it extra kedusha? He'll say, doesn't know what you're talking about, unless it's a chassidish shechit. I'm shechting it so that you can eat it. That's why I'm shechting it. But if you go to a kohen and you say, why are you shechting the animal? He'll say, to elevate it to the Mizbeach. I'm giving it extra kedusha through this Ma'ase Shechita. So, in the case of Chutz Lizmanoi and Chutz Limkoimoi, what has been wrong here? The Shechita is a good Shechita. The Machshova of the Shechita was a good Machshova. Just there's a side problem. Pigul directly damages the animal, not through the Shechita. Pigul is a direct damage to the Korban. V'rak HaMachshova also saw Psul HaKorban. What caused the Psul? The Machshova caused the Psul. If he had the machshava of shaloi lishmo, it was a chatos, and he thought it was a shalomim. That's all. The shchita was a good shchita. There was no question of the normal case of pigul, but he thought it was a korban that it isn't. As hoyo achisorin be'etzem hashchita, then it comes out that the shchita is no good. What is the role of shchita? To elevate the animal to the avodah specific to it. And he didn't do that. His shchita failed to do what the shchita was meant to do. Because there was a false machshava. Shakorban tzorich shchita shiyekadesh es hakorban likdushas achatos. What does this animal need when you bring it to the korban, to the kohen? You're bringing the kohen to elevate it likdushas achatos. Vim shochat chatos l'shem shlomim, and if the kohen shechted it l'shem shlomim, hayo chisorin be'etzem akorban shelenis kaddish b'kedushas chatos. You say, oi, what have you done? You've given my korban the wrong kedusha. It doesn't have a kedushas chatos anymore. And you can't undo it. Only a shchita can do that, and you can only do a shchita once. K'mo besoido delenis kaddish atoido b'kedushas atoido. I don't know what he means there. So here in our Gemara, where we're going along the lines that Hezek Sheino Nika is Shmei Hezek, Imkein Ein Kan Knosos Derabonon. So we're not talking about Knas Derabonon. Imkein Heicha De Choshev Machsheves Chus Lizmano De Ein Achisorin Bashchite. In the case of classical pigul, where he only thought of Chus Lizmano, what is the problem? The problem is the Shchite is fine. Raka machshova perseles, only the machshova has caused the damage. Havi psul machshova ba'alme v'loi mechayvin en lei. That is a standard case of a psul machshova for which he cannot be held financially responsible. All that was wrong is you destroyed my korban with your mind. Everything else was fine. Everything else you did was fine. But with your mind you destroyed my korban. For that there's no chiyuv tashlumi. Aval b'shochat chatos shaloi lishmo. That when a person shechts a chatos sheloi lishmo, he does l'shem shlomim. Hayo chisorim ba'ashchita she'oso shchita kazu sheloi kidshu es hakorban. What have you done wrong? You shechted wrong. You destroyed the shchita. It's as if you shechted the posel shchita. Mishumachi mechuyev l'shalem. Therefore you chayev l'shalem. Ve'af she'en loikin al zeh. And even though there's no malchus, asks the... So this, by the way, up till here, what the Moshe Mordechai has done is he's explained the Rashbo. What did the Rashbo come along and say? No, pigul is different. Why are you chayiv for pigul? It's not a psul machshava. Why is it not a psul machshava? Because it goes hand in hand with the shchita. Ask Rav Moshe Mordechai, but that's just a coincidental hand in hand. The pigul works against the shchita directly. Answers Rav Moshe Mordechai, depends what kind of pigul. The pigul of the classical case of pigul ein achinami, that works directly without the shchita. But the case of shiloi lishmo actually damages the shchita. And that's what the Rashbo means.
That's not like the kerim either.
That's not like the kerim, right. Asks. No. Yeah. The classical case of. Well.
Like the kerim. The machshava makes it. No, but the kerim case is machshava that's considered like a maisa because it's
yes.
A maisa. But here it's not. Here the machshava hustles
the maisa.
The
yes.
And the maisa.
Yeah, it's better. It's better than the kerim case. It's worse than the kerim case. The classical case of pigul is not like the kerim case. And this case is worse than the Kerem case. Yeah. Why it's Lav Shein B'Maisa? I don't know what the halacha. It would be interesting to see. It would be interesting to see in that Gemara whether you chayav Malkus or not for that. I doubt it. That's called a Maisa. But we should check out. It's a good thing to look at. So now the problem is the Rambam. In that case, why is there no Malkus for this at least for this figur? For the first pigul, the Rambam says there's no Malkus because it's pure machshove, the classical pigul. Good, that we go along with. But now Rav Moshe Mordechai has created, or rather Rashi, as understood by Rav Moshe Mordechai, has created a new kind of pigul, which is a maaseh. This pigul you do with a rotten shchita. That's how you do it. And therefore there should be Malkus. So he says, V'afshin loikin al zeh, sharei loy ne'mar batoiro, there isn't such a love specified. The love is the machshove. That's the love. The result of that love is the destruction of the shechita. And the result of the destruction of the shechita is the nezek to the bailin. That's what he does. The love is the machshava. For that there's no malchus. Aval the inyan nezikin kivan she'oso shchita she'en mekadesh es achatos mishumochet tzorich l'shalem davich yisorim ba'amaisi. You've got to look at it differently. From the point of view of the love, you've got to say, what is the love? The love is the bad machshava. And for a bad machshava, there's no malchus. But from the point of view of nezikin, it's not the machshava which does the nezik. The machshava damages the shchita. And it's the shchita, it's shechting an animal with a bad, just like shechting it with a bad knife. Causes damage. So shechting an animal with a bad machshava causes the damage. But what has caused the damage? The shechita has caused the damage, because the shechita has turned into a shechita incapable of doing that which it was originally designed to do, namely to elevate the animal to the Kedushas Chatos. That shechita couldn't do it. It was a shechita that lacked it. Why did it lack it? Because of your machshava. So you landed up, for whatever reason, performing an act of shechita, which act of shechita caused me nezek. That's Rav Moshe Mordechai. Look what Rav Moshe Mordechai puts into understanding a difficult Rashi. And we left out half of it. How does everybody else? This is his chiddush. This is not everybody holds it. So he's mechadish, a new concept in pigul. He's mechadish, a new concept in two kinds of pigul. But work very differently. The classical pigul, which is okay, that causes all the problem. And Moshe Mordechai's chiddush is that the Rashi's pigul, this kind of pigul, the shaloi lishmo, operates entirely differently on the korban. Has a whole different yisoy, but you need to be mechadish, you need to create that concept in order to be able to work through the Rashi. So the Rashi forces you into the creation of this concept. And all the other achronim, and some of the rishonim, dre. But at the end of the day, this is just so clearly defined.
We haven't finished.
No, we haven't finished. What's the next question?
Why that it seems to be a bad shkita with the shkodim tichatos or chatos shkodim.
Okay, so put the question more clearly. Just you're right.
You said that the in the case where he shes shlo lishma, it's a bad shchita.
So explain. We've answered now why Rashi couldn't use classical pigul, and therefore why shiloh lishmo is the essence, is the essential one. The question is, why does Rashi have to take the shiloh lishmo of a chatos to a shlomim, and not any case of a shiloh lishmo? Adarabah, a shlomim to a chatos would be better, since what you're being paying for is the need to bring a second korban. Why confuse the issue with a korban that becomes possible as well? That's the second part of the kash, which is his next chapter. All this is only on the first half of the kash. What I wanted on the next chapter, I won't go through the whole thing, but maybe I should just do the last paragraph with you. I'll tell you outside, and we don't have to first edit. That's the Moshe Mordechai, at least on the first part. But you see there how the Gedolei Achronim, this is virtually our generation. The Moshe Mordechai was Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron Yeshiva after the State of Israel arose. Still, he was still there. He died, I'm not sure in what year he died, but fairly recently. This is a contemporary Rosh Yeshiva, the last generation of the leftovers of the Lipish Rosh Yeshivas. This is it. Now, there are many tragic things about contemporary learning, like modern learning. One of the disturbing things is that a sefer like this is hardly learnt anymore. A sefer like this is hardly learnt. And perhaps even more disturbing is that the Rosh Hashivas don't say shiurim like this anymore. So there's several reasons for it. The one is they can't. The other is, I was talking to Rabbi Finkel, and he said he thinks the reason is that people have got all the sforim. Rosh Hashiva is embarrassed to get a. In the old days, where the Talmidim didn't have sforim, Rosh Hashiva got up and gave the best he could, and the Talmidim were happy. But now that the Rosh Hashiva knows that the Talmidim have had access to the Moshe Mordechai Epstein, they've had access to the Briskerov, they've had access to all the Gdol HaAchronim they've been able to read up, and now he's got to go and give a shiur that stands up to that. So the Rosh Hashivas are giving up, and a lot of these shiur klali, this is a typical shiur klali where he takes a concept and creates a concept in it in order to understand Rashi. But with this kind of learning falling away, the whole creative area of Lamdonos is falling away. It's a terribly serious thing. But this was the standard. This was the standard thing. When a young man chose to go to a yeshiva, to go to Slabodka, he went to hear these shiurim. That's why he went to Slabodka, because he wanted to be trained in this derech halimut. He went to Telz. He went because of that style. Each yeshiva had its own style of chiddush, its own style of creation, of creativity. I spoke at the Rabbinical Association had a conference yesterday. And the half of the day was devoted to a panel discussion on which I sat, on factionalism and mutual. So it goes to the nearest shul, and the rabbonim get very frustrated with it. I think that was really the purpose of the panel discussion. But I based my remarks on the Medrash in the beginning of Breishis, where you remember the beautiful Medrash that said factionalism started with the Malachim. We didn't start factionalism, it started already with the Malachim. Sholem said man should be created, Emes said he shouldn't. Chesed said he should be created, Emes said he shouldn't. Tzedakah said he should be created, Sholem said he shouldn't. Emes and Sholem realized that the two can't go together. Can't have Emes and Sholem. If you're going to have Emes, there can't be Sholem. If you're going to have Sholem, there can't be Emes. If people are going to be created, if all Malachim and everybody has a unitary idea of what Emes is, good, fine. But if you're going to allow people to each have their own ideas and their own personalities and their own minds, there are going to be different views as to what Emes is. And if there are different views as to what Emes is, there can't be Sholem. Rebbeinu Shalom has a problem. So the Medrash says, Notal Emes v'hishlicho arzo. So the Rebbeinu Shalom took Emes and threw it to the ground. So the Malachim all got upset. They said, Emes you're throwing away? That's you. Emes is the essence. How can you throw Emes up? Elo says the Medrash, Tale Emes minoritz. Let Emes come up from the land. So I said, that doesn't mean that the Rebbeinu Shalom changed his mind and said, alright, so I made a mistake. Tuck it. Bring him back. What the Rebbeinu Shlom said, and the Ktzos HaChoshen says something similar in the Psicha to his Sefer, that there are two kinds of Emes. There's the absolute Emes of the Rebbeinu Shlom, which we can't understand. And there's the Emes, which is Oile Min Ha'oretz. Having thrown Emes down, the Rebbeinu Shlom has given us an Emes. We now have got to bring Emes up from the earth. And the Ktzos HaChoshen goes on and says, that's the power of Chidush in Torah. And he says that's the Birkas HaTorah, Asher Nosan Lonu Torah Semes. He gave it to us. The Chaya Olam Nota B'Socheinu. That's all referring back to that Medrash, says the Ktzos HaChoshen, where the Rebbeinu Shlom took Emes and gave it over to us to be creative in it. And the Rebbeinu Shlom is saying that the Emes I want is no longer the Emes of Shemayim, but the Emes I want is the creative Emes of the Talmidei Chachomim of every generation. That's what Ktzos HaChoshen says. But then I took it further. I said that we see an incredible chidush. What we see is that the Ribbono Shel Olam's Emes and Sholem can't live together. But this new Emes of Tale Emes Min Ha'oretz and Sholem can live together. That's why the Ribbono Shel Olam did it. That's why he threw the Emes down. That's the chidush. that if the MS is talim in Oretz, if people are working with Kerach HaChidush and with Lomdus, then they can be Sholem. Then you can have factionalism and mutual respect. Why? That's for a number of reasons. The one reason is a very simple psychological reason, which I didn't discuss with them, is when a person is involved in Chidush, he has self-esteem. He feels good. He feels proud of himself. He feels confident. He feels satisfied. He doesn't get upset if somebody else is also doing well. It just doesn't come into it at all. He is so... there is nothing that one can possess with as much pride and feeling of possession as a Chidush in Torah. And jealousy doesn't come into it when one is being Mechadish in Torah. There's nothing at all. Whereas if one isn't being Mechadish, one becomes stagnant, and one becomes threatened, and one becomes insecure, and one measures one's success in terms of how many Talmidim one has rather than in what I was Mechadish today. One Talmid Chochem meets another one, what does he say to him? Tell me, what did you say in the Shiur today? That's what he wants to hear. And by what he answers, he'll judge his status, where he is, where he holds with him. Today it's not, Taka, how many do you have in the base of Medrash nowadays? That's what becomes the measure of success. So that's the one problem, which is on the psychological level. There's another problem too, that when one is being Mechadish, one is learning a skill of criticism. You have a scale, you know how to confront a new idea. You know how to create a new idea. Certainly you know how to be critical about somebody else's new idea. So what happens? Somebody comes along, another time Chochem comes along and he tells me something which is outrageous. I've never heard it before. What do I say? I say, I've never heard it before. Where do you get it from? He says, goes through. Let's say, Moshe Mordechai Epstein would walk in and he would say, do you know, what Machsheve Shelo Lishmo does, it destroys the Shechita, and the Shechita puzzles the Kodim. What? Where do you get such a thing from? Just come down, I'll show you. And he goes through the whole thing, step by step, goes through the longest. What do you say at the end of it? Only one thing to say. Fantastic. I don't agree with it because A, B, C, D, or I do agree with it, you can't argue with it. But there's nothing that you can do but have enormous respect for it. I didn't tell them, I should have told them that. And when we went down to his car to have a look, this fellow couldn't get over the professionalism of the job. He almost wanted to meet the gunner. He had such... He couldn't get over the way they did it. It was so brilliant. It was so professional. It was so neat, so clean. He was full of pride. He had a lot of geschmack from it. When a person comes and tells you a chiddush, you can't not respect him. What do you mean? If you're a London and he's a London, how can't you respect his lomdus? Whether you agree or not with his conclusion is absolutely irrelevant. But the lomdus is thrilling. So you'll disagree, fine, but that doesn't in any way cause a lack of covet for the other person. Adarab, on the contrary, let's say we haven't learned enough on the sugya here, and we don't know the inyonim well enough. Let's say we've learned the briskur over whatever it is, and you can't learn like this. The way we've learned, you can't. We have to disagree with him. Would that make any difference to the stature in which we hold him after learning through this? Wouldn't make any difference at all. But where there's no longness, comes of Moshe Mordechai Epstein and tells me a chiddush like this, what do I have to do? I can only judge it in terms of what I've heard before. Does it conform or doesn't it conform? And if it doesn't conform, it's wrong. And what about all the lomdas? Doesn't mean anything to me. I don't understand it. All that you've told me is a concept which doesn't conform and therefore it's wrong, and therefore you're an apikurus and you're an amoritz and you're a this and you're a that and you're an everything. Because you said something which is wrong. How do I know it's wrong? Because it's against everything I've heard before. Must be wrong. That's the danger of amaratzis. And that's the second danger in the loss of this kind of learning. That where there isn't a scale, there isn't a system of understanding one another, there isn't a method of developing covered, of going through the lomdus as the ikur, the conclusion, the yesoid, that's very important. And we've got to use the yesoid, but that's not the essence of it. The essence of it is the lomdus. How he goes through in the creation of a new concept in order to understand the Rashi. Almost the mathematical creation forced into the creation of this new concept, which is a complete chiddush. But that doesn't matter, the fact that it's a complete chiddush. Adarabah, that's its charm, that's its beauty, that it's something so completely new, which opens up the whole sugya, not only here, but also in courtship. That was the gadlus of the Gedolei HaAcharonim. And that's where the Olam HaTorah is in severe trouble, because this type of lomdus is virtually non-existent today. Now you also see, as I mentioned to you at the outset, Rav Moshe Mordechai was the Baki. Now you get an idea of his Bakiyas. So we see his Bakiyas very clearly. He brings from here and he brings from there. But look how he understands the Gemaras that he brings. Look at the depth with which he understands every Gemara that he brings. He uses the very, very yesodus of the sugya in order to operate with. You couldn't do this if you knew the Gemara by heart, but didn't know the yesodus. To be able to see that this Gemara is this concept, and this one's this concept, and from comparing the two, you can realize that they're two different concepts which would otherwise have appeared the same. By knowing that by Bakiyas, you couldn't have known that. That's what in the old days, that's what they used to call a Baki. A Baki was a person who knew Shas, but how did he know Shas? Like the Moshe Mordechai Efshtad knew Shas. That's a Baki. A completely different concept in Bakiyas. The other part of the question he deals with, by again making a chiluk between other korbonos and a korban chatos and an oshon. The halachic difference that he refers to with them is that a korban chatos or oshon does not have to be brought after death. If a person was chayav a korban and separated even, he set aside the animal for the purpose, and then he died before he could have brought the korban, if it's any other korban, the korban is brought on his behalf after his death. The korban chatos is not brought after his death. Why? Because the purpose of the korban chatos is kapora. The moment of kapora is the zrikas hadam, the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach. That's the moment of kapora, and for that moment he's going to be dead already. It doesn't work, and it can't be mechaper on a dead person. Why not? Why can't it be mechaper? So he develops the idea that the Bailim actually owns something in the Korban Chatos. There's some ownership connectedness until after the Zrika Sadam. And the fact is, you see, that once a person is dead, it doesn't work. Why? He has no ownership. That's all the change. Neshama still needs Kapora. Why shouldn't it be brought on his behalf? Because he's not alive. If he's not alive, so what's wrong? It was his, but now it belongs to his Yoshim. Now it belongs to his heirs, and they don't need the Korban. They didn't do the sin. So Rav Moshe Mordechai shows that in the case of a korban chatos, there is physical ownership, a physical right, a material right in the korban, in as much as the korban can be mechaper for the ownership. So the rights to kapora in that korban are owned by the owner of the korban, even after it's given to the Beis Hamikdash. Whereas in other korbanos, once it's been given, there are no more ownership rights. Now it belongs to the Beis Hamikdash; it doesn't belong to him anymore. He has no ownership rights in it. There's nothing that is held back. And that's why, if he dies afterwards, it carries on. The procedure carries on without him. It doesn't need him anymore. Whereas the Korban Chatos needs him until the Zrikas Adam. Needs him in the sense that there's some right that he has in it without which the Korban cannot proceed. He goes into a long arichus again, proving from all over Shas that that's how it is. In that case, he says, if a person sets aside a Shlomim, and the Kohen brings the Shlomim l'shem Chatos, what happens then? It's not that the Kohen, by so doing, has damaged the property of the Bailim. There is a halacha that he's got to bring another Shlomim. So it's indirect. It's a dover hagoyrim lamomim. It's an indirect, it's a proper indirect damage. I have done an action which has resulted in you having to bring another Korban, but I didn't touch your money. I didn't touch your property. That Korban, that wasn't your property. That belonged to Hekdesh. In a korban chatos, when I perform an ill-performed shechita on a korban chatos, it's still yours. There's still something of yours in it. Financially, there's still something of it. Materially, there's still something of yours. That's the difference between a korban chatos and oshum on the one hand, and all the other korbanos on the other hand. So if Rashi wants to bring a case of an avnezek, it has to be a case of a chatos or an oshum. It can't be any other korban. That's the yesod of the Moshe Mordechai in the second chapter. That's rights that the Torah gives, or a chiyuv the Torah gives. Basically, we say in halacha, mishulchan gavoya kazochi, you're eating off the Ribbono Shel Olam's table as his guest. It's not yours that you're eating. That's why it's a korban. Even in the chatas, when the kohanim eat mishulchan gavoya kazochi, we say they are being zoche from the Ribbono Shel Olam's table. It's not your meat. That's what a korban is. Otherwise, it's stam food. That's a korban, which makes it all very meaningful when we put salt on the table, because the table is like a mizbeach and all that, to elevate the table to that concept that I'm eating at the Ribono Shel'Olam's table, even to elevate our ordinary food to the level where it's not I'm sitting at the Ribono Shel'Olam's table, this isn't my table. And if one could sit down at a meal with that kind of feeling, that imagine Jeff, you remember when we sat down at the ambassador's table, one feels a COVID. If one could elevate oneself to the doctor, sitting down at the Ribono Shel'Olam's table, breakfast, lunch, supper at the Ribono Shel'Olam's table, that's what a korban is, and that's what every meal is meant to be. That's how he handles the whole thing. But look what an Achron puts into understanding a Rashi. That's what one needs to appreciate what there is. Rashi just uses a little word, but we notice an inconsistency. Suddenly he goes out of his way to say something which lichayro he didn't have to say. And we have to find out, we have to work out what it is, what is the concept which lies behind that. And through that, a whole new opening into Kodshim. In fact, if we were learning, these shirim would be more shy if we were learning Kodshim. But it gave us the opportunity of getting some kind of taste of Kodshim, getting some kind of understanding as to what the Seder of Kodshim is like. Okay, I need to stop it there because I need to get done early. So, one other announcement is that on next Wednesday night, Rabbi Zaltzer's brother, Rabbi Rafael Zaltzer, who's out here collecting for the Sunderland Kollel, will give a shir here in the Beis HaMedrash. And his shir will be on Maris Ayin. So it's an interesting Halach Lamaisa thing as well. What Maris Ayin is, how it works, why Maris Ayin is, because we're afraid other people will learn from our actions, even if we know they can't learn from our... What are the Gedorim of Maris Ayin? What is the Torah's intention in the Tzisurim of Maris Ayin? It should be a very interesting shir. So if you could make a mental note of that next Wednesday evening, Emet Sashem. We should also announce it on Shabbos if we remember to do so. And to bring with something to donate to the kollel for which he's come to collect at the same time.